Welcome to another eye-opening episode of
Revealing the Truth About Islam,
the show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam,
exposing the life of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greeting you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is September the 24th of the year of our Lord, 2022. And this is Usama Dakdak with you from the state of Missouri. And with us tonight, Brother Paul from Rochester, New York. Hello, Brother Paul.
Hi. Ready to enjoy a good time of fellowship.
Amen. And we have our new host, Peter Lachman, because we fired Christine Johnson. She's so old, she can't remember. She makes enough mistakes, so we fired Christine. Now we have Lachman from Mississippi.
Nice to see everybody, and yeah, I'm Christy's protege. How about that?
Hey, and you don't know what I like about Roxanne? She's a real southern. I mean, she can talk southern. She can drag her tongue, and she made a 1 minute sentence, a whole 45.
And I know how much you love that, Usama.
Hey,
I'm sure for the draw.
Here's the first time I spoke in church in Gonzales, Louisiana. So I spoke in the church, and then talking about maybe 45 minutes or so, and that lady stood up. She said, "Brother, you saw me?" I said, "Yes, ma'am. Can you repeat what you have said a little bit slowly?" I said, "Yes." She said, "From the beginning," I said, "Man, I can't remember what I said." It is like after 2.5 minutes, I get on, come out of my mind. So, so I learned to slow down when you go to the south, because you go there, it's not like the New Yorker where you're from, Mr. Paul, and you can talk too fast, you even cut half of your word out.
Right. We're in no rush to do anything down here.
Yep, you got all the time, sister.
Well, at least you're far enough west where you're not worried about this hurricane that's supposed to possibly be hitting tomorrow.
Thank goodness for that. And we're watching all the time, though, but we've been very lucky this season.
We can say blessed, Sister Lord.
Blessed. You are very right. Blessed.
The right word when
we
it comes
pray.
To Father God, not Mother Nature. So people believe in Mother Nature, they believe in being lucky. We believe in Father God, was in control of the water and the wind, the fire and the earthquake. Everything could happen in that universe. It is because of his will and his power for him.
Amen.
Well, God is good. Good to have you with us tonight,
all
sister.
Right.
And you're really making our video beautiful.
Well, I'm going to stop the camera, and Christy will be back momentarily. I know y'all would much rather be seeing her than me. So.
No, you can stay with us. We will. I told you we can let her go.
All right. Bye, everybody.
All right, Paul. So what do we have? What do we have? Share with me something you have there of what's happened.
All right. So one of the first things that I have is a story about Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom is the governor of California, and I was just sharing this picture, and I'm just going to go back to sharing this. I mean, I read the article, and I'll be honest, I really didn't believe it until I saw this picture. And he is putting up posters of, that California is going to help pay, help with your abortion. And the thing that bothered me the most about it is, first of all, I didn't believe it because they had put a picture saying that they are, that they're
read,
going to...
Read what they have for people on the radio, if you don't mind, bro.
I'm just largest, just a little bit for this so they can all see it. So I'm going to read it all to you. It says, need an abortion. California is ready to help. Learn more at abortion.ca.gov. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater commandment than this, than me. Mark 12:31. That's interesting. There's one commandment here, and they're saying these. So there's a problem there, but it says paid for by Newsom for California Governor,
sure.
2022.
Sure. It's not the run for president 2022. But this idiot, when I say idiot, I said with all respect and love, love your neighbor as yourself. Will he be willing to take the injection and put himself to sleep or to die?
Well, I mean, why did he leave God out?
The Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you want to be dead? Let's kill the neighbors. So if he can love with the same love you have for yourself. Is he willing to give up his life, his children's life? If he's willing to die, and he think what is right, and how much he should love himself, he needs to love the neighbors as he loves himself. Kill the neighbors and kill yourself. But you need to love yourself first, which means on the point.
John Wilson put up, oh my goodness, it's so horrific. You're right, and that's where the news article came out, is that he's made many Christians angry with him across the country.
The man is stupid, useful idiot, used by the devil, quoting verses from the Bible. You know what? That's not surprising to me. The devil quotes scripture for Jesus. Didn't you remember the temptation? And the devil says, it's written. That idiot is doing the same system Satan did with our Lord when he was tempted after the 40 days of fast. So, it's very simple. If he can understand theology, if he does not know, we can teach. When the Bible talks about love your neighbor as yourself, it does not have anything to do with this. It does not have to do with things with killing. If he's thinking that's what it says, then he needs to kill him first. So then he can kill his neighbor. And since he's going to kill himself, he would not be able to kill his neighbor. You got me?
Yeah.
I'm amazed. How we can use the scripture to bring death to our neighbors and we call that love.
This next piece comes from the New York Post, and I'm going to put that link in the chat room. This one is, you know, and again, it's another article where I looked at and like, wait a minute. This is a New York Post, New York City man sentenced to 30 years for stabbing cop in the neck during George Floyd protests by Ben Fuhrhardt. Brooklyn man was sentenced to 30 years in prison Wednesday for stabbing a New York Police Department cop in the neck and shooting two other officers in an ambush during the 2020 George Floyd protest. Remember, now they were extremely violent. That's how a cop got killed. A former Flatbush resident, Dizanin Kamelvik, was sentenced by Brooklyn Supreme Court Justice Danny Chung. There is a claim he is a Muslim, and let me explain why. On June 3rd, 2020, Kamelvik walked up to police officers, Yan France, Jean Pierre, and Randy Ramarin on Flatbush Avenue near Church Avenue and screamed, "Allahu Akbar!" drew a knife and stabbed Jean Pierre in the neck. Okay, 30 years. I'm glad they sentenced him. I, you know, still keep the police in our prayers, but this is just
Although this problem is going to get bigger and bigger, it will never get any smaller from now on. There's enough to wreck their cult anywhere you will be in if you have that number. And I think by the time the people of the West will figure out what Islam is, that's not going to be too late. It'll be very too late. I don't know, is that English? Very too late?
I think very, it could drop very, but yeah.
Hey, guess who showed up right now? She's alive! Who thought she's going to be with the Lord?
I was thinking I was going to be with the Lord. I was so tired.
She just said, from the day of 2070, and the room is shining like bright day. Hello, Christy, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you got to have Roxy sit in. That was awesome for me.
Roxy made me and Paul look very ugly, but now...
Well, she's a great friend, and she's very smart. Watch out.
I know, and she has a song on Brad.
She knows I don't care how she talks or what you think about people in the South. I'm telling you what. She's sharp. She's read your books. She's got material. She researches stuff. See, you always have people helping you. I finally have somebody helping me.
I always need help when I come to the South. So next time Mr. Christian comes to the South, Sister Roxanne got a job.
What? We have a job? Carrying books? Oh, what's the job?
About reading, typing, reading, editing.
Oh, Lord, what? I forgot about that. I better tell her to watch out.
Hey, don't scare her now. Don't check her out, please.
Don't tell her about all that, huh?
Okay. Leave her alone because we keep it that way.
Keep it quiet.
I heard that you're about to finish moving tomorrow. Your last day, so congrats.
No, I mean, I'm hoping it's my last day. But the thing is, I paid through the end of the month, but I set the 20th as a day to get out. But I forgot how... I am since I hurt broke my bones and then, you know, trying to move everything. So I have a saying, you know, about two men in a truck, moving company, they're awesome. Well, it's like I have two women and a shopping cart. That's awesome.
No one will hire you, trust me. None.
Come on now.
Even to move some empty stuff. But anyway.
Hey, the hardest thing to move was your books. So, I'm serious. I'm serious. We stored stuff at my daughter's.
Okay, Chris, when I come down, remind me to pick up books.
Oh, I will remind you. But anyway, it was just chaotic only because, you know, they've been there. What happened, in case people don't know, is Usama came down and he had a lot of books. And there was even a Christian who was going to take these books. And unfortunately, right after you were here that time, the somebody's laughing, the COVID thing hit. And so it's like everything shut down. And then I had your books. And we had a bad hurricane, and I had to move everything because water was coming in, and oh, my gosh, crazy. But God's good, and I'm okay, and the move's coming along, and I've had some good help. Hello. Thank you for saying hi. I was a little late getting on here, but Roxy stood in for me. That was awesome.
That is good. We're glad to have you with us tonight, Christy, and we'll... Keep praying for the next couple of days so you settle up and be in a better condition. Paul shared with us about the report advertising. I don't know if you heard of it from California. Corner of California is quoted in the Bible. Love your neighbor as yourself. So all our neighbors, if you want to have abortion and your state will not allow you to have abortion, calm down. We love you so much. We're going to kill your baby. And by the way, someday we're going to kill you too, but that's okay. So that's the real love of the liberals to the neighbors, kill the babies. Wow! I mean,
I'm going to put that all I'm going to put that particular advertisement on Newsom because he's quoting scripture and then he's cutting out the part about God.
Well, so, you know, I'm
saying liberals don't do that, but I want that to be wholly on him because he's the one taking
But there is a friend, I'm sorry, we have been talking to some people online, and these are women, and they
proclaim themselves as Christians and believing the Bible, and they will turn right around and tell you. I mean, it's almost like you're saying, well, if you loved people like Jesus did, you would know that he would want people to have an abortion if they need one. They are so lost. I'm sorry.
They're very militant.
It's not even that they're confused. They try to tell you that this is real Christianity, to support the transgender recognition of children to be mutilated in childhood, and people should be able to get abortions, and Jesus would want all this. I don't know what Jesus they're talking about, but it is sad because this puts us in jeopardy of being even more cursed as a nation than we already have been because of just
about
abortion.
The Jesus of Joe Biden, we're talking about the Jesus of Nancy or Lucy.
Yes, that's her Jesus.
That is the Jesus of the Democrat Party. You can call him Issa as well. Issa would be a perfect name for him because we're not talking about the God who got down the cross to save our sin. We're talking about the God who said everybody is welcome in any abortion clinic, and we take care of your baby. So that's it.
I'm sad to hear that. And you know what? I believe that there are a lot of Christian women and men who are also out there teaching the truth about God's word and his love for the innocent life, which is the only truly innocent life on earth, of a child in the womb, and how Jesus himself says he knit us together in the womb, and he's the creator. So he knows a child before it's born, before its mother even knows that she may be expecting a baby.
Before you conceive in your mother's womb, they know you by
your name. Yes.
God Almighty speaking to Jeremiah.
So, yeah.
They just choose to take one life out, another life out, and that is one of the hateful sins which the Lord spoke against.
Yes. You know, there was this thing on one of the news channels I only saw because I don't watch the regular news at all, but sometimes they show clips, and I guess it was some talk show, and they were all talking about this amazing study where infants, when their mom eats certain food, the infants taste it, they respond. And they were talking about when mom eats something that has sweetness to it, they show pictures of this unborn baby's face smiling, and then she ate something like kale, which is very bitter, and the baby's face changes. And they said, isn't this amazing? Now they've demonstrated that an infant in the womb can taste food that mom is eating and react. Oh, yeah, but it's not human, right?
Yeah. Remember the doctor who put his finger inside and the baby put
his
hand.
Yes.
Man, if this will not change your mind or heart about that beautiful angel, imagine your finger goes like this and the baby holds the hand, the finger of the doctor. Wow. Tell me that he does not feel that. Tell me that he does not know that. Please, you have to be really.
You know, this is why the left has fought so hard against women who are seeking abortions from seeing their unborn child in an ultrasound. And now they have such good ultrasound. They're saying 9 out of 10 or better women who are seeking abortion, when they see their child in the womb, they will not go through with an abortion. So, you know, there are funding sources, many of them right now, that are paying for women to have an ultrasound. And it's really an awesome ministry for saving lives.
Asking for help, I believe for $50, you can help one mama to see her baby, 50 or something like that. So if the Lord speaks your heart, you want to support folks of the family with the ultrasound for moms to see their babies, in the ultrasound. What a great ministry. You can save a life by spending $50, which a meal and a cup of coffee. I don't know what is $50 anymore. But God is good. But once again, I would say, Christy, if the Democrats emphasize so much now on abortion all over this election, the next 40 some days, if the Democrats can slow the great slaughter of the Republicans in this next election, or if he can win. That means that country deserves whatever comes in the next 2 years.
Well, I'm a get rid of the machine person because I am very convinced. I have been watching the details, the studies. There is so much evidence about the machines changing. That's the whole reason. If you remember, Obama in 08 changed how our votes were counted, and they were sent electronically to Europe. Do you remember how outraged we were when we heard that?
Yeah.
And of course, in 2012, he won again. And you know what was weird? I knew a lot of people that voted for him the first time, did not vote for him the second time. And you know what I'm saying? But that is not when this cheating first started, but that's when it became obvious.
Obvious,
that
yeah.
there was
and
way
to a lot of people would vote from the first time that actually flat out refused to vote for anyone, and that was and yet the numbers were extremely high.
Yeah,
and that's something else to think about.
Mm-hmm. And I believe that he got away with it because he's first African American president, and nobody can say the thing. He's like I said before, when a Muslim up for office, and if his numbers close, he's gonna win anyway. And nobody can say it's because, oh, you must be a son of a pope. Why you don't like Ilhan Omar or Rashida Tlaib or Idris Elba or any more of them who are very important office? This is exactly what it is. And God help us if we cannot get rid of this political correctness. And I hope and I pray that this election will not be stolen in the next 40-some days. And if they count, listen to this, 45 million in France, they will count it before the midnight. I mean, like a normal election. So we don't have any states in America who have more than 45 million, do we?
I don't believe so.
How many live in New York?
Oh, I have no clue. Is this
state
too many? We count it like an alien country. We don't consider them real. When you live in Western New York State or outside City, you don't consider that part of the state.
Hey, I got to tell you something, Paul, just for your knowledge. My daughter was in Rochester, New York, my youngest daughter, and her husband. They are doing a business where they're driving all around the country. And they told me the people they met and ran into in New York were so wonderfully nice. They were shocked, but that's because they were in Rochester. And I told them, well, that's where Paul is from. So they were impressed.
I cannot get through my theory. Hey, I got the message here, and I give you the number. The number, look, that's not it. That's not it.
What are we doing? I missed that.
He wants to find New York City population.
Any state in America. If
I see.
Want the population of New York City?
Or New York State.
New York State.
Let me see. Let me sometime, where are the people in the chat room? Can somebody write to us what is the population?
Just a second, I'll have it.
Paul will get it. He's in New York.
Says for, that's not right.
What is the population in California?
All right.
Here we go.
3,365,879.
Yeah, and in California, less than 40 million. So if France can count the election, by the way, France did it on paper, like the old-fashioned way, and if France can do it, all the United States of America, the 50 states can do it with paper. So if somebody thinks somebody's cheating, we can go back and look at the paper and find who's cheating. Okay?
You know, they also are saying that the states who have the greatest population growth right now should be receiving more representatives in the House. And, you know, California has been dropping population. And I would imagine New York has too. I see so many people like here in Mississippi that are from out of state. Used to be they would come, you know, certain times a year for events. Now we're seeing people from all over the country here. Of course, we've been, you know, Mississippi against mandates and standing up against forced masks and all of this, forced vaccines or, you know, required vaccines for quite a while. So we're seeing a lot of people here in my area. And I think that we're seeing a population shift of people who are tired of living in these larger cities where they're restricted so much.
We just have to pray, Christine. Just have to pray for the collection. We got 40 some days to pray.
Absolutely.
And, we'll answer our prayer and heal our man.
Amen. It'll be God's people that will bring the change. Yeah.
Otherwise, things are going to be real bad in America. All right, Christy, do you have any articles? Paul, do you have another article for us?
I have an article here. I'm going to post in the chat room real quick. This is from the DOJ, Department of Justice. U.S. attorney announces federal charges against 47 defendants and $250 million Feeding Our Future fraud scheme. Now, keep in mind, again, what we're talking about. It says charges against 47 defendants. Where are they? They're in Minnesota. Okay, and 46 out of 47 are Somalian Muslims. And we've been defrauded of $250 million. There's 47 defendants. Again, 46 out of 47 defendants are Muslims Abdiaziz Shafi Farah, and then there's a list of a number of people. I don't have all their names. Let me just give you some of the clues they talk about here. So this is the first, one of the second cases. I'm going to read it. Charges eight defendants with conspiracy, wire fraud, federal program bribery, money laundering, their role in the federal child nutrition program. April 2020, Empire Cuisine enrolled in, goes in names of co-conspirator companies. Defendants received more than $2 million in federal child nutrition program funds, which they misappropriated for their own personal benefit, including expenditures such as vehicles, travel, real estate, and property in Kenya. Right, so these people are just, it goes down. Every single one.
Is the name of Ilhan Omar? Can you look at the list?
Ilhan Omar? No, she's listed.
Oh, man, I can't believe it. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar should be on the top of the list.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. The amount of people that are listed here is just phenomenal. And every single one of these people takes the money and uses it for their own personal gain. And again, they're buying things like vehicles, real estate. And you start looking at all of these, it's just phenomenal that they...
Why I could not do that myself, vehicle for the ministry, and use it for my personal?
No, we don't want to do that because that's not what God wants of us. First of all.
Brother, I'm just kidding with you. I'm just kidding with you. Anyway, praise God. My vehicle, I bought by my personal money, because the ministry does not have money to buy me a car. Unless Christy would donate us 40 grand, okay? 65 grand, I can get an electric one with a battery.
An electric car will be left out there where the coal factory's still working.
No, don't worry. I'm going to put in front of it or in the back of it and a gas generator. So whenever my battery dies, run the generator, charge the battery, move on. It's the same thing. You run the car with the gas, you run the generator with the gas, and that's how you charge the battery. Use the battery for driving the car. You see, I'm a little bit smarter than you, Republican. I've seen it already. God knows what on Fox News. A battery car with gas generator on it. So I'm not the one invented. It's true. You can do it.
So the next story out there, I think, is probably the biggest.
Can you say something, Christy? I want to hear Christy say something.
No, I was just going to say I'm waiting to see the electric cars going down the highway with the windmill on the top to generate.
That would be a better one.
That would be funny.
It's better than generator. So when that spins like this, look great.
That's it. You drive fast enough, man, you're going to be charged up.
How big this thing has to be to generate electricity?
Hey, just big enough.
If I put my fan from my bed, the small one, and make it spin, would this create electricity?
Hey, you be the first to get that together, because I think people are maybe wanting to find that.
Hey, look, I can get a bigger fan like the one I have for the dust, and I put it in front of my vehicle in the top and tie it nicely. And run wires, you still go under the hood. And you say, what is that? That's charge my battery.
I'm telling you. That's why I said I need to come up with a better idea, right?
Okay, Paul. Go ahead, Paul. Sorry, we saw
this next article. Again, I'll put it in the chat room. For those of you who are not paying attention to the issues with weather and hurricanes, those people down Puerto Rico has already been hit. Cuba has been hit by, I think it's Ian. This comes from Epic Times, one of my favorite news sources. Governor Ron DeSantis declared emergency as Florida braces for the hurricane. This came out, as, again, Epic Times by Tom Ozimek. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis declared a state of emergency for 24 counties as the National Weather Service told Floridians to brace for impacts of Tropical Storm Ian, which is expected to bring heavy rain, hurricane-force winds, and flooding.
Right.
So I guess there's a question of whether it is a classified hurricane or not, because I was just looking earlier. It said it was, and then I see it again,
well,
and then I'm reading here, so I'm not sure.
With hurricanes, they change. Their speed of the wind determines if it's a tropical storm or a hurricane, and this one was a tropical storm. The wind speed goes up or drops, up a mile or drops a mile. It can change it, but they are expecting it to be a hurricane by the time it hits Florida. And, of course, it could change course and hit somewhere else.
Level 2 is what I've been seeing.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's a 1, there's a 2, there's a 3, there's a 4, there's a 5.
Yeah.
So hopefully
yeah.
Florida is subject to get hit, but I mean, it could veer off and hit us here in Mississippi. That's happened before, so we're watching it.
I saw the direction of going below Florida to the west, which could hit Christie.
Yeah, well, we've been hit a few times.
I never know. It might come up here and hit New York again. We haven't had one good number of
you
years,
really so. Haven't had a bad one, and we've been very well spared this year. I have to tell you, we have not even threatened us this year, and I'm so thankful because you spend time in rain, and honestly, I'm telling you, when a hurricane's heading your way, your best bet is pray, because you never know. They can go here, there, or wherever, but whenever anybody is hit by a hurricane, it is disaster, and there's all kinds of problems that come with that, and we've been very blessed. We got hit with some serious hurricanes. Katrina was the worst one, and so many people, especially Christian people and other charitable organizations, helped us. So one thing that happens anytime there's bad weather someplace, or some type of disaster, people in Mississippi gather up stuff, send it, ship food, water, and supplies as best we can. So we're praying it doesn't hit us, of course, but we don't really want it to hit anybody.
God is good, and hopefully you will answer our prayer and save us from this hurricane season. Any other article, Christy or Paul?
Well, I have some. Paul, did you get all yours done? Well, first one I wanted to talk about, because Annie Cyrus has talked a lot about this. There are some serious problems going on in Iran, and right now there's been 17 people that have been killed by the Iranian security forces. There were protests over a woman who was detained by the morality police because she was violating their strict Islamic dress code. And you know, you saw me how we're always here. Wearing the hijab is optional. We wear it because we want to. Not true. Not true.
Yeah, of course.
And so now this young woman who died, there's been other women protesting and people protesting. So these security services are now killing people who are protesting that death, you know? Not like in America. Somebody gets killed and people believe it was unfair or the police did something they shouldn't have done, and they get out there and protest and do more damage and kill more people. If you'll remember when we had all these riots going on in America over one person, but it didn't happen that way in Iran. Then now one person got killed and people who protest were also killed. So God save America. I wish people understood how thankful we should be to have freedom here and how easily we lose it when people are not paying attention. So I just wanted to...
video, Chris, if you don't mind. About
sure.
It, so you just
no, go ahead.
And let's see if you guys can hear it.
I have a story with you. Maha was only 22 years old. Before coming here, can you believe that I asked my husband to take my hair off? Put it down. Should I put my flower here? My hair is good. Everything is okay. And I'm sure all of you women, you do that. You love your hair. No? But a 20-year-old girl from Kurdistan went to Tehran for a vacation and she got killed. She got murdered by your regime. They arrested her just because a little bit of her hair was visible. Let me repeat that. She was not unveiled. She got killed because just a bit of her hair was shown. This is 21st century. And now I am here to talk about nuclear deal. I mean, do we really need to talk about it? With these savages, with these brutal regimes who killed innocent women for just a bit of hair, I cannot believe that I have to stand here and convince the rest of the world that to stop negotiating with the murderer.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's not death for us. Let me be clear. From the moment when I heard the story, I cried. Miserably cried. I was shouting, screaming, even putting the blame on myself. For years and years I have been campaigning, but I was not successful, and she died because I am guilty. But now, when I see the anger in the streets, when I see women across Iran taking to the streets, removing their hijab, which is a possible crime, burning headscarf, which is one of the most symbol of religious dictatorship, I'm saying to myself, why should I kill myself? Why should I feel miserable? Why should I commit suicide? Why should I cry? Don't you kill us to feel miserable. You know, these government makes my heart broken, myself broken, my people broken. And I have to talk to President Biden. Please, do not allow the snares to come here. Let them come here. We for them. One day we will get rid of this picture. The history will judge you, President Biden. Killing, murdering is in the DNA of the Islamic Republic. Killing and murdering is not just about Iranian people. I know you Americans have a well-known and famous expression, what happened in Vegas is going to stay in Vegas. But believe me, what happened in the Middle East is not going to stay in the Middle East. Don't think that I am calling on you, Western government, Biden. sanctions. I am here to tell you, right after the sanctions, Javad came on TV and said, proudly, we will send the money to Iraq, although we are suffering from sanctions. Right after that, Rouhani came on TV and said that we are proudly helping our allies. And then Hassan Nasrallah came on TV and he said that we have money until the day that the government doesn't have money. Bashar thanked the Iranian regime for giving them money. So you see, 51 religious institutions in Iran, their budget got increased. Let me just give you some of the name of this religious institution. One of them belongs to the son of Khamenei. And their goal is to promote Islamic ideology, to promote Islamic restrictive laws, to kill Mahsa Amini. And another time, when we were suffering from sanctions, then how come the budget of Maliki police increased, the budget of Revolutionary Guard increased?
It's pausing.
Children of Ayatollah Khomeini in Greece, and these are the clerics in Iran telling people, say, death to America, death to all Western countries. Their children are here enjoying their luxury life. But people are getting poorer in Iran. So is that too much to ask? That instead of getting deals, negotiating with this murderous, stand up for your own values. Stand up for your own dignity. I am here to call on Republicans, Democrats. When it comes to human rights, you should think it clearly as a bipartisan issue. You know why? Because if the Iranian regime want to kill Americans, they don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat. They don't care whether you are supporting Trump or Biden. They hate America. So, point. Maduro, Putin, Khamenei, all the dictators around the world, they are more united than democratic countries. Shame on democratic countries. Shame on them. But now that I'm talking to you, yes, I am angry. Because right now that I'm talking to you, U.S. citizens, British citizens, Swedish citizens, German citizens, many citizens from your countries, they are in prison, innocent, like hostage, and being used like bargaining chip to get a deal from the Western countries. My idea is not from me. It's from many people inside Iran asking the U.S. administration, ask your own allies to be united with you, to ask them to downgrade the relation, the diplomatic relation with them, Islamic Republic, with the killers, with the hostage takers, until the day they release all these political prisoners inside Iran. When these murderers kill their own citizens, they don't have a pity with their own women, with their own children, believe me, they're not going to have a pity with none of the Western people. If we don't get united, if the Western countries and democratic countries do not get united to end Islamic terror, believe me, they will get united to end democracy and to end every single thought. I have been told not to go and give a talk everywhere because my life is in danger. I said that instead of canceling me, you have to cancel the dictator. I will go everywhere.
All right. So that is the story.
That's awesome.
Was shared with us, and it says what's happening. This is exactly what I've been teaching with you, Chris, on the radio broadcast for the last 14, 15 years.
Yeah.
And we said, is no democracy in Islam. Don't make deal with these garbage liars. If Iran or any other Muslim country, they love to take everything you got, including your life, because that's why they're here. And making deal with the Iranian, like Mr. Obama did with the $152 billion, It is not helping them. It actually gives them more money than they can handle to make the nuclear bomb. The transfusion did not stop from making uranium sustainably as the ones used to make the bomb for not 1 minute. Even though the deal was to give you money to stop for 10 years. That was a stupid deal. What do you mean, Mr. Idiot Obama, 10 years? You mean the 11th years will never come? Well, it's people don't think. And guess what? Right now, there is a huge revolution in Iran, and I don't think it's the right time. Sadly, I wish Mr. Trump is in the White House because he could do something about it. But that Biden, he will not just shake hands of Ayatollah Khomeini. He'll shake hands with the last Muslim jihadi and hugs him and kiss him. Anyway,
so, well, I wanted to say one other thing that I noted here. There's a lot of stories, of course, about persecution against Christians in Muslim countries. We've said many, many times, and if you check out the international news, you find it true, that Christians are killed, persecuted, arrested, abducted, more when we have a weak president and a liberal. So that's all over the news internationally. But there's one really good story that I would like to share if you haven't heard about this, and I haven't. Cities covered in the glory of God, Christian night worldwide for 10 days of awe prayer event. This starts tomorrow on September 25th and goes through October the 5th. And it says that thousands of churches in the United States and 43 countries around the world will participate in the 18th annual 10 days of an organized global prayer event. And, you know, this is tying in, I think, with the Jewish holiday in recognition of Rosh Hashanah, which is another period of 10 days for repentance and prayer. So this could be an awesome time, and this is a time that Christians should be reflecting, repenting, and focusing in on what God says is required for us. If my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. That is our hope. And this is the opportunity, not just for Christians to unite in prayer, but also to unite in repentance. And because I've spent a lot of time around Jewish people and in the years past, attended a synagogue for a number of years. I was also attending a church, but I had family who were practicing Jews. So I attended some of the Rosh Hashanah events and some of the days of repentance. And what I loved about it in the Jewish synagogue that I attended, is I learned that they repent not just for themselves personally. They repent for the sins of a nation and the sins of the world. And I heard a Christian talking about this and said, you know, remember that, I believe he was talking about Jeremiah, repenting for the sins of his nation. And this is something we can do as individuals. Repent about the sins of our nation and asking God to deliver us from the consequences of the sin and to deliver us from the evil that is on our country. There's nothing wrong with doing that. And this 10 days that they're talking about, September 25th, October 5th, I think it's an awesome time to know that other people are joining in prayer. And I intend to do that also.
Amen. Amen. God is good. All right. Paul, you have another story?
I have a story from Europe. I'll throw that in the chat room. And it's a repetition of a story we're hearing over and over again, and I wish it was not happening over and over again, but this is out of Samnet, which is Swedish, so you'll have to put it into translate.google, and I'm not going to read what they put in. Tens of thousands gather to break into the EU, and where do you think they're coming from, Usama?
From Florida.
oh, they're coming straight out of a country that where Erdogan runs things.
Turkey.
Turkey, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, a huge convoy, which the organizers call the, well, Caravan of Light, is trying to force its way into the EU. So my bet is that Erdogan's using wolves again, the gray wolves again, to push Syrians from outside the country, through his country, into whatever European countries, because this is what
years ago, and I said if Turkey ever joined the European Union, it will be the Mexican border for America. It will be the back door for the rest of the Muslim people for Europe. And that is the reason number one why you want to join Europe, so they can destroy Europe with the millions and millions of Muslims.
Well, they have actually threatened Europe over and over again for the past 5 to 7 years that I'm aware of, and constantly saying you have to pay us so we can close the door. Right. Put money, pay the bribe. They've been doing that for at least seven years that I've been found. So it's just mind numbing.
I think your days are numbered. I look at all of my friends who live in different countries in Europe who I've talked to personally on the phone almost every week, and they're telling me so much. I wish I had time to just talk about what's happened in Europe, how Muslims are invading Europe, but it's kind of too late. I mean, you talk about somebody's bombing like normal, bombing in Europe like the hit they do here in America. Some of the people will just come up with this idea of hitting somebody. You didn't even know. But they know what they're doing. Man, it's sad. I see the
day. They had a hand grenade problem in Sweden. Everybody was bringing hand grenades to Sweden.
Yeah. It's like nothing. Burtess was bombed. It's like, fuck is the chief peacefully. And the liberals, the funny thing is, liberals in Europe, we do like the liberal in America. While the Black Lives Matter is about burning, and you can see the burning man. It's a very peaceful protest. That's what people here say. That's exactly what the media in Europe and the police in Europe are saying about what Muslims are doing. Because what are you going to do? It's too late. The cancer is stage 4, spread all over the body. What are you going to do? You want to get rid of the tooth and the lungs and the liver and the stomach and the heart? I mean, you're dead. It's over. I hate to say that.
Well, Americans need to wake up to the fact that one of the reasons it's not anymore, we need to maintain our Second Amendment. You know, every Christian, I'm sorry, when they've said, oh, I don't need a gun because God will protect me, I'm going, oh, well, God doesn't protect the Christians in these Muslim countries. We have the right to own guns in America and to protect ourselves, and that has been a huge reason why we haven't been attacked more. So I'm just saying, fight against these gun restrictions, because they'll cook up stories. They'll even literally, I believe, inspire people to go and commit acts of violence with a gun in order to justify their restrictions that they want.
You're gonna say Americans need to keep guns, okay? But at the same time, allowing Muslims to have guns in America is exactly what Muslims do, because they don't mind to kill as many as they can kill as they get killed themselves. They kill.
And where do they put them, Usama, when they do they put them in their house, or are they putting them in the mosque?
In mosques, in their homes, everywhere.
Yes.
Like, these things they learn from Muslim brothers and teachers. What the Muslim brothers need to do? They go to the mosque and they load the mosque with guns, and when they have riots, they're out from the mosque and they can burn the country in no time. They can take the
we know that they have plotted and planned that for a long time. So we know that's one of the reasons why they want mosques everywhere. But I still, you know, I want to remind Christians that believe that, you know, well, we shouldn't have guns. And again, I'm telling you, I've got people who say they're Christian, say this. And on the one hand, they'll talk about how God helped America to become an independent nation and all of this, which disagree with, but then they'll turn around and say, well, we don't need guns as Christians because God will protect us. And I'm going, well, wait a minute, didn't they fight a revolutionary war with guns to get us where we're at? Come on, you can't have this both ways.
You must be extremist, Christy. You sound like you're a conservative.
I'm probably being hunted down now. I mean,
you're a MAGA person, aren't you?
I heard something
today on Fox News. I couldn't believe my ears. I don't even remember the guy was speaking. He said the Democrat Party years ago could not say word extreme Muslim, but today we can probably say extreme Republican.
Oh, of course.
I mean, it's so sick. Extreme Muslim will never come out of some of these people. I challenge Joe O. Biden to tell me extreme Muslim. If you hear that these words, I will vote for him in this election. How about that? Because I promise you, he will never use the word extreme Muslim, but he can say extreme Christian. And he said it in his speech. Let me remind you again, he was talking about those people, the MAGA people, the extreme people, who do not allow someone who loves someone to be married to. He's talking about two gays and two lesbians. Excuse me. Only Christian do that. There are plenty of MAGA people that are gay and lesbian. They don't mind.
I know.
But the Christian are the one who are against that. And he's talking about those who do not give the woman the right of their body. Only Christian do that. Plenty of Republicans, they care less. I know some people in my own church who have no problem for a lady to commit abortion.
Well, you know, that's the whole thing. Divisions are things that are created. My friend Roxy, whom you talked to earlier, we were talking about how they have these programs in these companies called for equity, okay, and inclusion. And here's what happens. And they talk about, oh, we want equity and inclusion, so we need to have certain people in certain groups who have certain beliefs, and we need to have them all in our company for inclusion and equity. And then they ask if you want to join a particular group whose focus is on one of these groups, okay? So what is weird to me, and we just looked at each other like, doesn't that just create a lot of division? And a lot of insecurity, because now you know, oh, these people in this group, well, we can't say that. There's only one group that truly can't operate or be brought together in any kind of inclusion, and that is conservative Christian. You can't have a conservative Christian group. Bless you, Paul.
Thank you.
We're making you sneeze with that comment.
Oh, my gosh. My allergies are acting up tonight. So
I understand. Bless you.
Today's the first time it's been bothering me. So everybody's been laughing at me because I haven't had any allergic reactions.
Can you please cover your mic, man? I don't want to get sick of you.
spread the allergy.
Cover on the camera in case. But anyway, Christy, you are absolutely right, and believe it or not, equity equals stupidity, because what we have is going to be silent to the truth and silent to the facts. I'm sorry, there is no equity in Christianity. There's only one road, as we're going to see in our last video for today. The one road is called Jesus Christ. All others are garbage liars. They're going to take you to a place that's called eternity in hell, okay? No equity. And when I see the stickers coexist, you know, that you see on the back of the coexist, I said, what the stupid stickers for stupid people who know nothing about none of these religions.
That's right.
None of it. When it starts with the sea, the mosque, and ends with the sea, which is Christianity. You cannot mix Christianity with Islam and all this garbage in the middle. You can't. Unless you're stupid. And you know nothing about any of them. If you know Christianity and Islam, for sure you know they cannot coexist. They can't.
Yes. You need to know the truth, and that's why they don't teach the truth.
As a Muslim, I have to kill you because you're a Christian. Well, and we're going to cause this. Start with Islam, end it with the cross. You have to be real stupid. Anyway, well, let's take a quick break. You guys are having a great time. We have a lot of this discussion, but we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, Roseanne, we're going to move on with our study to cover a little bit more of the Ten Commandments in Islam. Sound like a joke. Think of men in the Quran. You don't know. Let's take a break.
are Muslims, and what do they believe? Liberal Muslim scholars and clerics spin the news and continually promote Islam as the religion of peace, and that Jews, Christians, and Muslims worship the same God. But is this true? Where can we turn for the answers? To truly know what a faith teaches, you have to go to the book. And for the last 1,400 years, that book for Muslims is the Quran. This collection of the sayings and teachings that Muhammad claimed to have received from Allah is the sacred text for over a billion Muslims worldwide. But the Quran was written in Arabic, so how can we in the West learn what it really says? Muslim apologists have produced several English translations over the years, but these have been carefully edited to hide many of the blatant errors, immoral teachings, and violent commands throughout the book.
At the beginning of our ministry, we decided to tell the truth about Islam. Therefore, we decided to buy the English translation of the Quran to use the verses which is written there. Sadly, I could not find one Quran to present the truth as it is written in the Arabic language. They sugarcoat it. They water it down. That's why we decided to go ahead and translate the Quran from Arabic to English, a true English translation.
The Straight Way of Grace Ministry, in cooperation with Arab and English scholars from around the world, has produced the most accurate English translation of Islam's holy book ever printed. Read for yourself exactly what Muhammad taught his followers about war and violence, about sex and marriage, about the treatment of infidels, and more importantly, what he said about Jesus.
Islam is not what I share with you or what some moderate Muslims tell you. Islam is the verses of the Quran. We must separate Muslim from Islam. There are so many wonderful Muslim people out there, but they are not true Muslim because simply they don't practice what the Quran teaches. So many American people say they accept Islam. They do not have any problem for Muslims to practice Islam in America, but same people rejecting Sharia, Islamic law, not knowing that Sharia, Islamic law, is the practice of the verses of the Quran.
This translation has been produced with a modern student in mind, with several key features including study notes for the reader, detailed notes concerning errors and contradictions in the text, careful comparisons between the Quran and biblical accounts, and references to the original sources that Muhammad borrowed from. Special sections discuss key topics such as a compilation of non-Arabic words and idioms found in the Quran, an easy-to-follow chart outlining the fulfilled prophecies concerning Jesus in the Old Testament, and a challenging gospel invitation to introduce the reader to the scientific, historical, and biblical reasons for accepting the true Jesus as the only Lord and Savior.
In the book of Isaiah, chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." It is time for us to read the Quran. It's time for us to find the truth for ourselves.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Read the Quran for yourself and understand the roots of this dangerous faith. Individual copy and case pricing are available.
Well, welcome back. We're glad to have you with us in this fastest 2 hour of every Saturday. Believe it or not, we already passed an hour and 2 minutes, and we only have 48 minutes to do a little bit more study, our study as we have announced it as the Ten Commandments according to the Muslim. We covered first one, we actually did it in depth, which is commandment number one. What commandment number one says about the fall of Muhammad, remind me?
Okay, put it up if you'd like.
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
Go to 2 and 3, and hopefully we can get to 4. I'm not sure how far.
We'll go to Act 2. That's all the right. Second one. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me.
Well, we found out our dear Muslim friends did not worry about having other gods before Allah, before God. They actually put Allah in himself, and he's the only one who they worship. It's like not associating any God with God, but get rid of the God Bible, Jehovah, Yahweh, and replace him with Satan, the one who would love to kill and to destroy and to steal. That's exactly what we have covered in our last two broadcasts, and we did not finish all of it. We just went through, you know, a couple hours worth of teaching, but we can go in depth a lot more. Okay? Go ahead, the brother, call next commandment.
All right. The second commandment. You shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above or that is in the earth below or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down yourself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, I'm a jealous God, visiting the sins of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me.
All right, that hates him. God does not punish the parents in the sons. No, even in the sons, the third and fourth generation for those who do not love God, who hate God. Now, think about it. Muslims do not have a statue for any God. They have a picture of any God. Because actually, the worship is the real thing, Satan. When you say don't bow down to them, you have to understand, when Muslims pray and they bow down towards Mecca, as you think, that really was facing Mecca. In reality, if you live in America, you cannot face Mecca unless you know how you can measure it exactly.
Well, they have a flat earth, so wouldn't they have a problem with this?
if they believe what Muhammad taught them, the flat earth, for sure they can face Mecca, there's no problem. But this, the earth is not flat, it's sphere, it's like a ball. And I am here right now in Missouri, I think, and Mecca is under my feet. Right now. I'm standing in front of Mecca, okay? I don't know where you're at, it's going to be a different direction. But if you're facing from Missouri right now to the east, trust me, you're praying towards Mars. Or maybe, what other planet goes first this way? Anyway, you're not anywhere towards Mecca. But this is a serious matter. The devil is so smart. I remember a story I heard years ago when I was a kid in Egypt, I don't know, maybe 40 years ago or so. And the preacher was talking about a meeting between the devil and a bunch of demons. And he said, what are we going to do to gain people to not worship the true God of the Bible, but to believe in me so they can spend eternity with nothing else? That's the push of the devil. So what is the Satan? What does the devil say? Well, you know what? I will tell them there is no God. It's just ridiculous. It's made up thing by people. And then it says, sit down, you stupid. You don't know what you're talking about. Everybody knows there is God. Other guys said, and every one of them come up with different opinion. No, 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 no. And then the smart one came in the end. And he said, here what I'm going to tell them. Yeah, God is real. God is so loving and he's just too. If you don't believe in God, you're going to burn in hell. But if you believe in him, you're going to have eternal life in heaven. And God is so this, and he is preaching like a Baptist minister, real conservative preacher. And all what I want you to do is think about it and think this is a real decision. All you do is just believe in him tomorrow. Tomorrow. And tomorrow will never come. Or the people will say tomorrow. So the Satan, he has this many techniques and he knows how to use deception to lead many people not to worship Yahweh, Jehovah, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came in the flesh, but to worship somebody else. So it's not all about putting a statue in front of you, bow down to it. It's not about drawing a picture, because Allah taught the Muslims in the Quran, no statue, no statue, no picture. You cannot hang a picture of your own family, for heaven's sake, in front of you, in your house. Why? Because if you make a picture, Muhammad said, in the day of judgment, Allah will ask you to breathe life on it. And if you cannot do that, you're going to burn in hell. So you see, Satan is getting smarter. Don't say there is no God. There is God. Don't say there is. No, there isn't. I'm going to tell you the whole message. So here, my dear Muslim friends, worshiping Allah and Allah alone. No other statue, no picture, no nothing to disobey. By God of the Bible. No, 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 no. You're worshiping Satan. Satan tricked you. And you bow down to every day, these 5 daily prayers, to Satan. You're assuming you're bowing down to Mecca, but in reality, you're far away from Mecca if you live here in America. And even if you're standing close to Mecca, what are you doing? You bow down to a building. And what is used to be in that building? 360 gods. So Muhammad came to get rid of all of these gods and get one. Which one? The one he used to worship. The one his family worshiped. The one they kissed. And the Muslim continued to kiss until today to receive forgiveness for this sin eternally. Past, present, and future. You kiss one time to the black stone and your sin is forgiven. And what is the shape of the black stone? A woman, private part. Wow. Black stone. It's not an idol. Black stone. It's not a statue. Black stone. Oh, it used to be white. You see here, Paul? It used to be white. And then Allah sent it on Adam. And because Adam sent, Adam kissed it. And Moses kissed it. And Abraham kissed it. And somehow it turned to gray. And people continue to kiss and kiss and kiss and kiss. The more kisses, the more darker it gets. Now it's all black. What are you doing, Muslims? We kiss. First commitment, goodbye. And here's the second one, another one, goodbye. And they think they got it right. And because they believe in their God, Allah, watch what else Muslims would do to disobey the rest of the Ten Commandments. So let's move on, Paul. Give me the third one, bro.
All right. Third commandment. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain.
Well, what does that mean, Brother Paul? Help me out. What do you mean don't take the name of God in vain?
Some people will take this as don't be cussing, don't be using the, don't cuss is part of what they're saying.
Don't cuss the Lord God, don't cuss Yahweh Jehovah, or just use the name Allah, the name God, which is the Muslim belief in Allah, lightly. Swear by Allah this, swear by Allah that. And have you studied the Quran? You found that the Muslims not just broke that commitment. They're celebrating its greatness. I mean, they're literally living every day to do that. First of all, if you talk about the Lord God Almighty, Muslims, they're committing blasphemy against the God of the Bible every day of their life. You know that?
Yes.
Go to 2 John, brother. Chris, do you have a Bible?
I don't have it pulled up on my computer, and I'm in the middle of moving.
Okay, just a second. I'll get it.
Oh, we work hard with
my Bible's in the other room.
Second John.
Go to Second John, brother.
Okay. What verse?
And let's go to verse, 7. Start from 7 down.
Chapter 1?
Yeah, it's only the only chapter there.
Okay. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist.
All right, stop for a minute, you brother. Do you believe Muhammad is one of those? Do Muslims believe
yes.
that God Almighty came in the flesh? They're antichrist.
That's right.
They blaspheme the name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ because they follow a child molester, a sex offender, a prophet pretender, a womanizer, an adulterer, a thief, and a thug, and a terrorist, a savage man. And they could not see anything wrong in him, therefore they believe in him, and they believe there's like breaking the circle. The circle. Keep reading, brother. Keep reading.
So we're going on to the fourth commandment.
No, well, I'm not finished with the Bible, brother.
I'm sorry.
First
commandment. Okay, so we're going back to 2 John.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. This is verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward.
So the ministry of the apostle, if it's Paul or John or Peter or James or Jude, all the apostles, is wasted because of the work of Muhammad in the Muslim world. That's exactly what's happening. Next verse
9, and whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son.
But wait a minute, I thought Allah said in the Quran, there is no Father, there is no Son. There is no Father, there is no Son. What blaspheme can you do more than that? Read the third commandment one more time. You shall not what?
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain.
You know that, I mean, literally, we can talk about that for another couple hours. Easy. So talk about it. What do Muslims believe about using even the name Allah lightly? This is Allah lying. Allah in the Quran told them, Allah will not hold you responsible for your mere efforts of an oath. Did you mean it? No, swear by my name, lying by my name. I swear to Allah, here's Brother Paul, here's the Quran, I put my hand on the Quran, I swear to Allah, I'm telling the truth, and I'm lying. And Allah does not say you can do that. How
can it be the name of Allah, your God, in being such as that? You swear by him falsely lying. Denying the true God of the Bible, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, and believing in Satan to be God, and you tell me that you believe in the Ten Commandments? Think verse 1.
If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him God speak.
How many churches in America are now living in the opposite of the truth of the Bible by having these wonderful good Muslim imams speak in the pulpit? In the church, the Apostle John is telling us this, don't have them in your homes.
Yeah.
And we're having now in our churches. The Catholic Pope is making union with the Muslim worshiping the God of Muhammad, Allah. And you don't say anything against the Pope because you're going to offend the good Catholic people. That is stupid. You don't fight for. I don't speak the truth. Last verse.
He that bids him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds.
Yes.
I'll be equal to the Muslims who literally blaspheme the name of my Lord and my Savior, God Almighty Jesus Christ, if I will do exactly what the Apostle John is right to us. No, I'm sorry. I have to obey God more than man.
Amen.
I believe in the Ten Commandments, and I'm going to break the Ten Commandments, and I will not associate myself with any Muslim, not in my church, not in my house. I meet with Muslim people all the time. I go to McDonald's, okay? I go to some other place. When their heart is softened and they are willing to hear the gospel, I will bring them to my house without any problem. I will give them everything I got with love and respect to share the truth of the gospel with them. But as long as they're Muslim, they're not welcome. They're not welcome. Let's move on to the fourth commandment.
And I have my Bible on the computer now. I pulled it up.
Hey, praise God.
I just wanted you to know. I
use the Blue Letter Bible. It's my favorite.
Yeah. I've got several, but I just didn't have the tabs open. So
fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it. As the Lord your God has commanded you, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your ox, nor your ass, nor any of your cattle, nor your stranger that is within your gates, that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you.
The day of rest is the day, Saturday, the Sabbath day. The day of rest was made for man, not man for the day of rest. And I know some Christians who will tell you this is like a little bit strange that we have to keep the Sabbath. Why is that? Because you see, if I don't keep the Sabbath, that means I sin in all the thinking. Excuse me, you mean you kept the other mind? Are you arrogant? The Sabbath is the only commandment I believe in my Christian faith that it is not to be kept in the New Testament. I will share with you in depth, but that's not the point we're talking about here concerning the Muslims. The Muslims, they don't have a day of rest. I know they go on 5 days to the mosque, but they work all the way from morning to the afternoon, and from the noonday to the day, worshiping who? Allah. Who is Allah? Not the Lord your God. Notice here, when you read this, Lord, the Lord, L-O-R-D, your God. And then, the Lord, L-O-R-D, your God. That's not what it is. Remember the story I told you about that Satan have a meeting with the devil? Let's tell them that there is God. And let's tell them all the truth about God. Just trick him by saying tomorrow. Now, Muslims who are worshiping Allah, they think, Brother Paul, Sister Christy, they think they're worshiping the God of the Bible. They think that keeping the Ten Commandments, I guarantee you will never meet a Muslim in your life who will tell you he does not believe in the Ten Commandments. I guarantee you,
Every Muslim tells you, we believe in the Ten Commandments, and we believe in Moses, we believe in the Torah, and we believe in Easter, and we believe in the Gospel, and we believe in the Zabur, the Book of Songs, and we believe in Prophet David, and they believe in everything they heard of, or in the name is mentioned of the Quran. But are they really worshiping the Lord, God, capital L-O-R-D, capital G-O-D? I'm sorry, not. Not. So they look like they are following the commandment of Allah, thinking that Allah is God, but in reality, they're worshiping the devil. I don't care if you keep Sabbath or not. Even if Muslims have three Sabbath every week, okay? If you think about the Ten Commandments, and think about the five pillars of Islam, when Muslims practice all these things, they say the Shahada, they pray five times a day, they pass the Muslim Ramadan, they give the cut, they give money to the mosque, and they do the Hajj, and they do the dawah, and someday they will perform jihad. That is the last pillar, which we don't talk about in America. They will die for Allah, not realizing they're dying for the devil. I wish we Christians can practice the command of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, even up to 10% of how Muslims are willing to die for Allah. It's not about keeping the Sabbath or not. I personally do not believe that is Allah in the New Testament. We don't read the apostles when the apostle Paul went to meet with the elders and James and other Peter in Jerusalem. They did not say keep the Sabbath. That was not one of the commandments to be continued. And I don't have a problem for anybody to keep the Sabbath. It's beautiful. Can you imagine taking a day of rest? Well, guess what? Today is my Sabbath. I started today at 4:30 this morning. And since I'm talking to you right now, and it is actually 10:21, I will not go to bed before 12:31 o'clock. Tomorrow morning I was going to wake up to go to church, and I'm tired on Sunday. I wish I could have a Saturday off. Imagine, I don't do a single Saturday, just relax, eat my Bible, drink tea, drink coffee, and eat cookie and relax. Man, if the Lord will bless me someday, and I can have any day, just a day off, a day of rest, that will be a blessing. But to be honest with you, I've not seen that day of rest for years. The Sabbath is made for me, but me, not for the Sabbath. So don't let the Sabbath control you, but you control the Sabbath. Which means if you have the time to take off, to rest, praise God, that's wrong with it. But that's not how, as a Christian, I keep the Sabbath so I can make it to heaven. Because if I don't keep the Sabbath, then I sin in one. If I sin in one, I sin in all. No, we don't go to heaven because we keep the Sabbath. We go to heaven because our sin is forgiven. And we go to heaven because our sin is forgiven because Christ paid for it on the cross. Even the Sabbath will not make you holy or more righteous or give you a better chance to make it to heaven. No. You can keep every Sabbath and you don't believe in Jesus Christ. You still spend eternity in hell. All right? Anything else you want to add, Christy or Paul?
I think you're healthier when you take at least one day off a week. I think that's both good for your physical and mental health.
I agree. But you don't keep the Sabbath as a worship deal so you can have a favor with God. No good work I can ever do.
No works get you heaven. There's nothing you can do to earn your way.
Well, I'm glad we agree on that. But let me share with you, I had a discussion with one of my professors when I was in seminary. So professor said, well, in the Old Testament, the day of Sabbath used to be the day of worship in the Old Testament. And now we Christians change the day of worship from the Sabbath to Sunday. And I raised my hand, bless me. I said, sir, that is false. What do you mean it's false? I said, in the Bible we read that they worship on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, all day week. They actually worship three times in the third, in the 6 hour, and the 9 hour, and 12 hour, which is like 9, 12, and 3 o'clock in America, okay? Here's the three times the Jewish people worship every day. They never have the Sabbath. Read the verse in front of you. Show me that you may worship me. Go ahead, Brother Paul. Read with me that. Read it again. One more time.
Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord your God has commanded it. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your ox, nor your ass, nor any of your cattle, nor your the stranger that is within your gate, that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as well as you.
So it is a day of rest, not a day of worship. If God Almighty, the Jehovah, God, the Lord God, is concerned about the ox and the ass, the donkey, Well, look, he put it and worshiped me? So that's the first falsehood. The Sabbath was never a day of worship for the Jewish people. It was a day of rest that is made for men. And obviously, in reality, realistically, not everybody can keep the Sabbath. Why? Because somebody has to milk the cow in Moses' day. You don't keep the milk of the cow until Sunday evening when the Sabbath is over. You cannot keep a milk of the cow goes for hours. You have to milk her twice. So who's going to do that, Brother Paul? Tell the cow, sorry, I know you need to be milked, but you need to get used to it. It's the Sabbath. I cannot work. It is ridiculous how the Jewish people make the simple law to a very complicated law. Well, somebody needs a surgery, and it's Sunday or a Saturday. Oh, I'm sorry. I know we need to do a surgery for you, but it's the Sabbath. We have to do surgery Saturday night. And the man die on the table where he can have a surgery. There are circumstances where people have to work on Saturday. Don't tell me that God meant for no work, meaning no work. No. Talk about the routine work. The things where you can put off that you may rest. Now, do we Christian worship on Sunday? No. We worship 24/7. We pray without ceasing, without stopping. Matter of fact, I believe Sunday is a day to celebrate the risen Lord, not to just worship, celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. That's what we do on Sunday. But you worship Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, any day, all day long, all week long. But once again, Brother Paul, I wish I can have a day off, or maybe two. Imagine when I become so rich and so free, and I have 2 days of Sabbath every week. Wow! And maybe I can come and visit with you and spend these 2 days just taking coffee with you. All right, let's move to the next commandment.
Fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. It's the only commandment with a promise.
Exactly. The only commandment with a promise. You honor your parents, you live long on earth. And it's not just about years. You can live 100 years miserable. Can you imagine you have some bad disease and you suffer for 100 years? What kind of life is that? That is a commandment Jewish people kept. Christian keep, and it, by the way, it's punishable in the Old Testament, in the Jewish law. You dishonor your mom or your dad, you're stoned to death. Can you imagine? No, I'm not going to do it. That's fine, son. Don't worry about it. We're going to take you outside the city, and the men of the synagogue will take care of you. What are they going to do to me, mama? Nothing, baby. They're going to stone you to death. Oh, of course, there was a punishment in the Old Testament for those who will not honor their parents.
And the father had to throw the first stone.
But thank God in the Christian faith, we don't honor our parents because we're afraid to be stoned. But we honor our parents to live in obedience to God's command. Now, do Muslims really honor their parents? I know that Muslims say they love their moms and love their dads. Let me ask a simple question. If you're a good Muslim who follows the teaching of the Quran, who follows Sharia, crossing the T's and dotting the I's, and somehow your mom or your dad became a Christian, Christy, tell me, how much this mom and this dad will be honored by their children?
Oh, maybe an honor killing.
Oh, honor. See, you still honor. You see how the common word for the Paul? It is honor killing. So Muslims still believe in the fifth commandment. But instead of honoring their parents to respect them, to love them, no, they honor them by killing them.
I think there's another element here because the Muslims, the way they treat the women, as a teacher, when I've gone to visit students in their homes, I've gone and some have been Muslim. I'm not allowed as a male to talk to the female mother when there's no father home. So the child. The oldest son had to come home. So I was supposed to talk to him, but by law, I'm not allowed to. I have to talk to her. And that's
complicated in America, isn't it?
Yes. So, I mean, I'm talking to her even though they're telling me not to, and I don't have a choice. And, yeah, she would talk to him, and then he would say what I said, and but I don't think there's respect, because I think a Muslim male child doesn't respect his mother from the time he's able to tell her what to do.
You know, there's so much in this for the fall. You got to look at that, obviously, but that's a, more of a culture in America. And when you want the Muslim world, it's even worse. But think about when I go to the beach in Florida and I see a family, three ladies, two kids, and a dad. And one of the ladies is the mom, of course, or the wife, or maybe three of them are the wife of that man. I have no idea. But he sits on the beach. As a matter of fact, one time I was with a friend, and he pretends to take a picture of me, just take the picture of the ladies behind me. They're pulling the hijab as a man, wearing short and a t-shirt. He wore a short.
I just saw that this weekend.
Okay. Some people, I mean, literally, that picture was taken. I said, sometimes there's a picture of you, but they have to take the picture of the people behind. Now, what kind of honor is that? You know, if you want to really live in Islamic belief and you wear the long jalabiyah and the long pants and you put the hat on your head and you don't, that would be awesome. Why? Because you're treating yourself as your wives or your daughters. But here's a man walking with his wife or wives, only God knows, I talk to him, and they're all in hijab, full hijab, full book. I can't even see their eyes. You can't see their faces. In that heat summer of Florida, God, if you think it's hot here in Missouri or New York, I'm speaking to Coca-Cola for one day of the summer, okay? And they are on the water, on the beach. He is in his shorts and his t-shirt, enjoying the weather. And what honor he gave to them, he thank his honor them for taking maybe the beach smell of air. That's not too much respect or honor. I mean, when you cover a leg in a burqa and make like a stack of potato, that is not honoring. But you see, he's honoring Allah, because Allah in the Quran told Muhammad, as the advice was given by Omar, most believer, cover yourself, wear dresses, one from your shoulder down, one from your head down, maybe a small hole, it was the left eye, and that's how much. So they're honoring Allah, they're honoring Muhammad, they're honoring Omar, who invented the Sharia concerning the hijab. But are they really honoring their parents, the mom, the sisters, the daughter? That's abuse. I'm sorry. Abuse is not honor, Chrissy. Help me out, Chrissy. Is abuse in America considered honor?
No.
So honor is not abuse. Abuse is the opposite of each other.
Right.
And I love it how Moses always loves to quote hadiths saying of Muhammad. When Muhammad said that God in the paradise, the heaven, is under the feet of waters. I know it sounds good. So all what a Muslim lady needs to do is to get to heaven, get pregnant once, become a mama, and you got your guaranteed to paradise. But at the same time, Muslims reject the statement where Muhammad says 99% of Muslim women are going to burn in hell forever. What honor did Muhammad give to the Muslim people to let them know that hell is loaded with women? What honor did Muhammad give to the Muslim people when they said that they can beat their wives? I mean, Chrissy, how do you like your husband to beat you a couple of times every day? Would this show honor to you?
No.
Would this show honor to you in front of your children?
No, it makes the children...
So it's not honor.
Not
honor. The children don't learn to honor their parents,
right.
when that's the standard. And
yeah.
So it is actually...
We know that actually creates a continual stream of wife beaters, unfortunately.
So that's not honor, but it's dishonor.
Right.
Yes.
So how come Muslims say they believe in the commandments, and we're only going so fast right now? Really, we can take one every show, but we have so much materials we'd like. A lot of material we're going to cover in the future. We're going to have time to think was one subject for time. How can Muslims say they believe in the commandments, and they believe in Moses, and they honor their mothers, or they honor their wives, or they honor their daughters, when in reality, they're abusing them? Not just in the clothes, in the beating.
Well, it's hard to see how a daughter is going to honor her father either, because of how the father treats the daughters. And this is just a mutual, you know, conflict, because we've seen in Muslim families, even in America, where the daughters have been killed, and so there's a fear, but it's not an honoring fear. It's just...
When the Bible talks about honor, Chris, here, yeah. It's not talking about the... it is honor of love.
Right.
Honor of respect.
Yeah.
Honor of...
But how can a daughter be feeling honor toward her parents when she may at any time be attacked? I mean, it's like she's going to lie if her behavior isn't suitable to them. If she, you know, like we've seen these girls, Western countries, being killed by their parents, you know, they had to try to cover their behavior. So none of that is honoring parents, none of it.
It's where you get these fake hijabs being cut and things like that because it fell off or something happened, and now they have to lie their way out of it, so now all of a sudden you have a crime. Yes.
The government of the East country, like we're seeing in the video lately in Iran, will kill a woman if she shows a little bit of hair on her hijab. I mean, what kind of honor these institution of the government,
The
regime of land, to literally kill the women? Where is the honor for the mothers? If the people in authority do not have respect for the women, who's going to have this? If the husband doesn't have respect for the women, you think The children are going to grow up and respect their mother? And they're going to honor their mom and their dad?
And I'm just going to put it in, it goes farther than that. You take a Muslim male child in this respect that goes through this training and sees those, I mean, raised this way. They go to a public school or they go to a work environment. They don't even respect the women around them. So it creates more difficulties as well.
Yeah. And by the way, the influence of Islam on the Muslims is somehow infiltrate the mind of the Christian in the Muslim world. I'm sorry to say that. They have influenced us, the Christian, that we are now in the Muslim country. If you're not a born-again Christian, the Spirit of God lives in you. If you are traditionally Christian by name, you're a very Christian, but you cannot. I see men in the Muslim world treat their wives and treat the mama the same way as Muslims. And that's how I know for sure that they're not Christians. I could not look at my mama's eye when she was living in my house in Florida. I could not look at her eyes. I mean, joke and laugh with mom from a distance, hug her and kiss her. And sometimes I used to carry my mama, and she said, put me down. But I love my mama. But would I get, like, see Muslim do with the mothers? Because they grew up in it. They see their dad treat their mama as garbage. Their wife was garbage. The son grew up to the same thing. And guess what? He does it to his wife. And guess what? His children would do it to their mama. And it's a circle of living in disobedience to the family. Honor your father and your mothers. No, who don't? In the Muslim world, that is, I don't know. I remember as a kid, maybe 14, 15 years old, I used to go to my neighbors. My dad will not allow us to have a TV at home. I love sport. I used to love the soccer games. So I go to my neighbor to watch soccer game. And at the same time, I used to go study with my friend a little bit. But as a soccer game, I love to watch a soccer game. So that 1.5 hour, with all respect, I may lie and I may whatever, but I want to watch. I was, you know, 14, 15, teenager kids. I love sport. And one time, my neighbor's daddy, he bent his ball in her hand from behind her back. I get in the wall, and he was beating her. And she cried. He's beating her. I could not go to that house for 2-3 months because I was embarrassed to look at my friend's mama. I have to confess it. I felt so bad for what happened to her that I cried in my heart. I hated the football game. I hated to be in that house on that day because I've seen dishonor. Is that mom? And I never seen it that way before. A little bit later, now you walk and you see here this man speaking to the mama in a very rude, disrespectful way. Now praise God, I grew up in a Christian home where my daddy loved my mama. Matter of fact, when mama passed away, my daddy could not live anymore. he was a little bit sick, and was the doctor, and he said, your dad is giving up. I said, what do you mean giving up? He said, he lost your mom at 52 years of marriage, and he's gonna die soon. He's not gonna live longer. And exactly, my mama died one day before Christmas. My daddy, 5 weeks later, and we were both buried together next to each other in Florida. Because there's law, there's a commitment, there's an honorable relationship. I saw it. I lived it all my life with my mom and dad. Do we have that in the Muslim world? Does Allah say in the Quran anything about honoring, respecting your parents? And once again, that's the most important question. If you are a true Muslim and your mama or your dad become a Christian, what are you going to do to them? Honor killing. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Sister Chris. It's honor killing. We're going to kill our parents for becoming a Christian. God help us. What is the next commandment?
Okay, the sixth commandment. All right, get there. Sixth commandment, you shall not kill. This actually is ratsach, which is the word murder.
Exactly.
Right.
Love it because some idiot Democrat was telling me, Bush was not a Christian. Why? Because he passed the capital punishment in Texas when he was the governor. I said, so what do you do when somebody commits murder? Oh, put him in a hotel and give him 3 meals and coffee, TV and sports, and give him a good health for another.
Sounds like you're talking to the Attorney General of New York State.
Yeah, that's how stupid the Democrats are. Thou shalt not murder. And the answer of the Bible, if somebody commits murder by another man's hand, his blood must be shed, which means you can kill those who commit murder. So that is a judgment for those who took life of another. Now, can you imagine with me, Paul, if you think out of the Quran, the killing verses, how much is left in Islam? Take your time. Don't rush. We're going to remove the killing out of the Quran, out of the teaching of Allah in the Quran, and tell me, my dear Muslim, how in the world? Are you kidding me? Or are you kidding yourself? You're not fooling anybody. Your Quran on. You to live in disobedience to the sixth commandment. You must commit murder. You must. So take the murder out of the Quran, out of Islam. Would be there anything left in Islam?
There's not much left because that's the stuff that abrogates everything else.
Exactly.
And a lot of people would leave Islam if there was not.
That's another fact. If you stop killing the Muslim leave Islam, if you stop killing a principle, if you stop killing Christian and Jew, you will not have started Islam. Because how Islam starts by killing Christian men and Jewish men, raising their wives and daughters, and raise Muslim babies. So if there's no killing, you'll never have access to the Christian man's wife and the Christian man's daughter, and you'll not be able to raise them. You're not going to have Islam. So that's the purpose of Islam. But at the same time, if we get rid of killing in Islam, period, you're not going to kill anybody. All Muslims who leave Islam will be free. And guess what? Then there will be no Islam left for anybody in the world.
Yeah.
Because if we practice the commandment of God, you don't commit murder, and if somebody commits murder to be killed, well, guess what? We would have killed Muhammad and the early Muslim companion because they were killing, because they committed murder to Christian Jews and others. Then we could really get rid of the savage cult of Islam from its bed when it started. All you prophets, reprove the believers to kill. Can you imagine? That is the command of Allah in the Quran. The opposite of the teaching of the Bible. And let us provoke one another into law and do good works. Or engage in war. 79 times in your Quran. And you still believe as Muslims that you live and you believe and you practice the Ten Commandments. I'm sorry. There's no truth whatsoever in this life. And thou shalt not commit murder. Thou must go and kill. The opposite. God help us. Anything else you want to share about that, Paul?
I think the big mistake many Christians, many Jews make is they never do any in-depth on this verse. And while it says, thou shalt not kill, it is ratzach, which is the word for murder. That is extremely important. And I know it was said, but people have to look at this. It's not killing in defense. We're not talking about killing in time of war. We're talking about an act of murder, which is totally different. This is why it's honorable to serve your country.
Sure. When you murder somebody who did not commit any crime, that is the murder. If somebody comes to attack me, and people always say that, how can you be a Christian and you carry weapons? Really?
You mean you have a right to defend duty, your biblical duty to defend and protect your family.
Jesus tells his disciples, if you don't have a sword, sell your clothes and buy a sword. What Jesus is talking about, performing jihad? No. Defending yourself? Yes. Because we never see the disciples of Jesus went to perform jihad like the disciples of Muhammad did. But if you can't defend yourself, why not? The same Bible will tell me to honor father and mother. The same Bible says love your wife as Christ loved the church. So how Christ loved the church? Jesus does not give the church a box of chocolate and said, eat and be fat. Jesus did not give the church some flour. No, Jesus loved the church to die on the cross. Yes, there's a personal sense about if you strike me on my cheek, I'm going to hit sins on the cheek. Okay, I would do that personally. But you touch my wife over my dead body. Why? Because I am commanded by the Lord of God to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I have to die for my wife before you touch her. That's how we Christian live. So that's nothing wrong about thou shalt kill. You can kill. Somebody come attack you, he's going to harm your wife, he's going to harm your children, and you got the gun, put the 7 bullets in his head. And if you have 15, go ahead, empty them in his head. Why? Because he is coming to harm you, and you have the right to protect your family, to love your family, to commit the killing, but not murder. Once again, what happens to the people who commit murder? They must be killed. Why? Because the Bible says so. Because those who shed blood, by other men's hands, their blood must be shed. We're not going to get any more than that, but we'll stop here. Lord is willing, maybe next week we'll close in the Ten Commandments. We'll maybe start something else if we can finish it in a short time. Anything, Chris, you want to share?
Well, I think it is very good to just remember that it doesn't say thou shalt not kill, it says do no murder, and literally abortion is a murder.
Sure.
What
does innocent baby do to you?
Yeah. So those are things that the Word of God has so much power, just even keeping an understanding of the Ten Commandments can help you see how so many of the political, so much of Islam is completely against God. And that's why our courts took the Ten Commandments out of the court. They didn't want them in there. You remember when all that started in Alabama? And it was, you can't have the Ten Commandments there in the courthouse. Why not? You know, it's crazy.
They were always
stuff.
In the courthouse for hundreds of years.
Yes. And so now all of a sudden they're not there. And I always say the first one that went is, thou shalt not bear false witness. Look at the lies in the Lord.
Imagine with me, have we left the Ten Commandments in the court and teach them in the school who have less crime today?
I believe it.
Amen.
The crime has gone up to the roof because we're teaching them, you're animals, live like an animal, and when they do act like animals, why do we have the shooting? Why do we have the killing? Because you already thought that not to fear God, but to love God, and do everything else for me. My dear wonderful friend, Christy, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And I hope next week you're not going to be tired. Actually, you're not tired. You look okay. And Paul, thank you so much. And for our dear wonderful audience, please don't hang up. Watch this video. So as you watch this right now or later, don't leave this 10 minutes. It is the most important 10 minutes. For I believe in these 10 minutes, your life can change for good. So God bless you all, and we'll see you, Lord willing, next week.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. Said the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was, before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. Remember, they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously. And he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. Some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. No matter how wicked a sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, God has made an offer to the human race. To those who find the way barred, because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting the standard, there is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all those who believe, for all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, how are you doing? Oh, not bad. Oh, really? Not bad, huh? Oh, doing pretty good. Doing my best. Well, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully. And you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall under the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion will do. But when you find out you need a savior, the list is very short. There's only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building, and you're screaming out the window, help, save me, and I'm walking by and I say, ah, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. You can't save yourself. When Christ died, he paid the debt you owed. And in exchange for your sin, taking your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness, as a gift, a free exchange. Salvation is not something you earn. Salvation is a gift. Every other religion ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side, put your law on that side, and I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? Oh, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top 0.5%, you know. Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bills, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you need a savior, and you can't save yourself. And then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the savior of sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And receive the Lord Jesus as the Savior of sinners. Say, oh God, I don't know why you'd want me. I'm damaged goods. But you said that whoever came to you, you would in no wise cast out. Take me now. Save me now. I give up. I'll accept the gift of God,
eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen and amen.